If Jesus goes with me, I will go. There are several that were afraid to come out this evening because of the weather reports. Brother Shelton and I was talking, the tornadoes and all that. What I saw before I took my nap was over in Indiana. We are in Kentucky. So it is good that those that desired to come out this evening did not allow the weather to stop them. And so as we come together, let us continue to give God all the praise and all the honor for what He has done for us. Amen. Have you not read? I believe that many of us, and I say us, and I may not be talking about you and I may not be talking about me, but many of us, we fail to pick up God's Word and read it the way we should. We rely on some man to tell us, but thus said the Lord. Well, we should be picking up His Word and we should be reading it on a constant basis, on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And not only reading it, but we should be studying it. We should be dissecting it. We should be connecting the dots, making sure that we understand that the Scriptures do not contradict themselves. Amen. And there are so many people that will not, they will not pick it up for themselves. They just want to rely on somebody else. We find that the Scriptures teach us in the book of Matthew chapter 19, it teaches us about marriage. It teaches us that marriage is not for two men. Marriage is not for two women. But Jesus, He says this, and He's talking and teaching about divorce right here. But in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 19, it's just some very clear words. He says, "And He answered and said unto them, Have you not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female?" Very simple. He's asking, have you not read? See, these were the things that were contained in the law. These were the things, and we're going to find out, that was supposed to be read on a constant basis, on a daily basis, in order for men to understand how they're supposed to govern their lives and how they're supposed to help others to live theirs. So have you not read? In Matthew chapter 21 to verses 16. Matthew 21 to verses 16. As we find from verses 12 through 16, Jesus cleansed the temple. You know, there are people that think that just because we are children of God and just because we're supposed to be have our life dedicated unto Him, that we cannot get mad in any shape, form, or fashion. But here, our Lord was upset. But He says in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 21, "And He said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Have you not read?" You know, as Jesus is looking at these things and as He's asking them these questions, the things in which He's asking them here, have they not read? These things were in the Old Testament. And He was just repeating them to them. Have you not read what it says? You know, when you're riding down the road and you see a speed limit sign and you ignore that sign and you get on down the road a little bit piece further. Maybe this has never happened to any of you, but it's happened to me. The man didn't ask me, did I see the sign when he pulled me over, but he asked me a simpler question. He said, "You didn't see me back there?" I said, "Man, if I saw you back there, I wouldn't have been going this fast." And so Jesus asking him, "Have you not read?" You know, if people would read the signs, if people would read the Word, they would understand how they're supposed to, what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. So we need to read. In verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the name is become the head. of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Have you not read? Have you not read? Again, there are many people even today, they haven't read the simplest things in God's word. They want to just, well, I believe it says this in God's word. Why just, you know, say you believe it says it when you never went and actually read it? Go ahead and read it and say, yes, that's exactly what it says. And if that's exactly what it says, that's exactly what we're going to do. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 31-32. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Again, who is this asking the question? Jesus, have you not read? Do you not know what you're supposed to do? Do you not understand what you're supposed to do? It's hard to know what you're supposed to do and understand if you have never read it. So we need to read it. We need to read it. We find that there are different types of readers. And when we start looking at this, you're going to say, well, that's really not a reader. Well, it is a reader. Those who never read. Well, if they never read, they're not readers, right? Yeah, they're the readers that's doing nothing. So we have some Christians that do nothing, but yet they're still Christians. Those who have never read. Those who read sparingly. When was the last time you read your Bible? Well, I started at the first of the year, you know, reading my Bible through a year, and I read the first 10 days, and I just got tired of doing that every day. And here we are in November now, and you're going to try to go and catch up. It's going to be a whole lot of catching up to do, and you're going to have to do a whole lot of reading. But you know what? Those that do that, those are those sparingly readers. Those who read selectively. And there are many ways to do this. And one of the silliest ways I've ever seen when someone say, well, what have you been reading? What you going to read today in your Bible? And they pick up their Bible and they say, well, wherever I open it up, that's what I'm going to read. I'm in Isaiah chapter 11. That's what I'm going to read today. Or, you know, I think I'm just going to read about this right here, and I don't want to read about anything else. I don't want to know about anything else. So we need to come away from that type and that style of reading. Those who read this defensively. I got a bone to pick with you, and I'm going to go and pick out every scripture that I need in order to defend on what I want to stand on. We were, you know, looking at some things on Friday evening over at the South End again, and there are a whole lot that probably went home and they wanted to find the scriptures to defend the things in which they're doing, and if they're doing things outside of God's word, they're not going to find those scriptures. But we have those that read defensively, and then we have those that read regularly. Those are the type of readers that God are looking for. Those are the type of readers that God desires. Those are the type of readers that God can use. You know, Brother Theotis on Wednesday night, I heard him say that he had left his glasses and he got up and he went outside and he came back in, and I asked him to read and he still didn't have his glasses, so we just, you know, skipped over him. But you know, a lot of times when we do not do what we're supposed to do or act, and I'm not saying Brother Theotis is not one of those, and Sister Linda found this out the other night when she was asking me to read something over at the house, and I was like, you know, I was trying to focus, and she said, you want to use my cheaters? You know, we have to train our eyes sometimes to read in different circumstances and under different conditions. And when we read on a regular basis, we can do these things. But as we're talking about reading on a regular basis, we're reading for a reason. We're reading to get an understanding out of God's word. In Acts chapter 8, verse 27 through 34, the eunuch was coming back from Jerusalem and he was sitting there in his chariot. He was reading out the prophet Isaiah. He had just finished worshiping, but he didn't get enough of it there. And one of the reasons he didn't get enough of it, because it wasn't time for him to get enough of it, just as it's not time for us to get enough of it on tonight. He continued to read because he was one of the ones that were not named or that were not listed in about 3,000 that were baptized. So he continued to search the scriptures. He wanted to understand, why did these men get baptized? So what did the Lord do as he was reading there? The Spirit directed Philip to go and to join himself to that chariot. And as he joined himself to that chariot, the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. He explained to him what he was reading, because the eunuch asked, who is he talking about, himself or some other prophet? He continued to read God's word. So we need to read God's word on a regular basis. And when we read God's word on a regular basis, it causes us not to accept what any man says, but to accept what God has said. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that, and they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures, they read the scriptures to make sure that the things that were being told to them were true. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. You see what reading the word of God will cause one to do? It'll cause them to make sure they can put their hand on what thus said the Lord. It'll make sure they can put their minds at ease and say, yes, the scriptures are true, and what they said, they're absolutely right according to God's word. And it causes one to say, I am ready to obey the gospel, and to have their sins washed away in a watery grave. What kind of reader are you? Are you one of the ones that never read? I can't find my Bible. You know, last time I seen it, I can't remember where I laid that thing. And then when you find it in a spot where you never thought it would be. Right where you left it. Full of dust now. All you got to do is knock that dust off of it and start reading it again. Yeah, you heard me say once before that there are many say, well, I left my Bible at the church building, and so when I get back there, that's when I'll read it. We need to read our Bibles on a regular basis. So we need to have one. If you're going to leave your Bible here, you need to have another one at home, or you need to have some electronic device where you can pull up God's Word, or even listening to it on tape or CD or however you want to listen to it. But read God's Word, and as you read it, get an understanding out of what are you reading. What's the importance of good reading? You know, we need to understand that the importance of good reading is to be blessed. So we want to be blessed according to God's word. So therefore, we're going to read His word, and we're going to put His word into action. In Psalm 1, starting with verse 1, we want to know what we're supposed to do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now we're using this to just to show the importance of good reading. Now the law that we're talking about that we should be meditating on is not the law of Moses. We should meditate on the law of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should meditate on it day and night. We use the Old Testament as our schoolmaster, as a tutor. But we're not under the Old Testament anymore, the old law. But we still meditate on God's Word. We go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Brother Brian, read that for us when you get it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
You see what you have here? You have a case of one reading and someone else hearing. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now the same can go as you can read for yourself and you can hear what you're reading. And we're gonna figure out how we can do that in just a moment. You know, I believe that we looked at that and we talked about it with Brother Simmons in Bible study, but we're going to look at that in just a moment. How can you hear what you're reading? You know, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So we need someone to read to us sometime. And we need to understand what the words are talking about. And he says, not only do you hear the reader and you hear these things, and keep those things which are what? Written therein. So just because you read it, just because you hear these things, if you don't keep it, it's not doing you any good. So you need to keep them in order to be blessed. Why do we read? When we read, the importance of it is to gain an understanding. To gain an understanding. And that's what Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? So we need someone to guide us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Starting with verse 3. Ephesians 3, starting with verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit to gain an understanding. Paul says, you know, you didn't know this before, or those men of old, they didn't know these things. He said, but you can know them now. You can know them. You can read it for yourself. And as you read it for yourself, you can get an understanding out of it. Remember Solomon said, you know, those that were trying to get wisdom, he said, in all you're getting, he said, you need to get an understanding. Because wisdom without an understanding is worthless. When you read God's word and you don't understand what you're reading, is worthless. So you need to have someone to guide you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Actually, we're just going to go ahead and read down through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in them, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In order to learn something, someone must be you need to have an instructor. You need to have someone that's going to read you some things. You need to have someone that's going to demonstrate some things for you with illustrations sometimes. And so he said, I want you to be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, not some of it, but all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or truly furnished unto all good works. So to gain an understanding. This is God's word. This is not man's word. Paul just didn't write these things to be writing them. He wrote them because the Holy Spirit inspired him to write them. This is God's word. Not man's. We need to get an understanding from it. We read God's word. The importance of good reading is to be challenged. What do you mean to be challenged? Let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4 to verses 12. Hebrews 4 to verses 12. I was playing with a case knife one time, and you know, a butter knife, and you don't think they'll cut you. You keep moving it across your clothing, you'll find out it'll cut you. I was moving across my leg and I got cut. The word of God, it'll cut us. It challenges us to do what is right. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What did I say this morning? Those that say, God knows my heart, you're absolutely right. He knows your heart. And the word will bring out those things that are not right. And it'll prove these things to you, and it'll show you these things. And you need to understand that when you're cut by the word of God, the only thing you can do is come back to Him for healing. It'll cut you. It'll cut you. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the verse is 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the verse is 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the verse is 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Me tell me the word works in us. It's shown by your actions. You can see these things. You can see the word working. Oh, he's really growing. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Look at him. He's imitating Christ. That's good to when a person can do those things. When they can learn what God wants them to do. This is what the gospel is all about. The word challenges us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse... Yes, 23. I told you my eyes are bad. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Our Lord, He does what He's supposed to do. He acts the way He's supposed to act. Go ahead, Brother Theo, just read that for us.
Born again, and not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Where are you at?
First Peter
chapter 1, verse 23. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in chapter 2, see? Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. Being what now? Read that one more time for us.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
The word is going to challenge you now. You're born again. How are you supposed to live? It teaches us that we're supposed to walk a newness of life. When you become a Christian, you to walk a newness of life. Being born again. Not of the corruptible seed. You're not born to do things that are wrong. You're born to do the things that are right. Because we know that nothing on this earth, no flesh and bone, no shall enter into heaven. So we need to get our lives right. We need to be challenged on a daily basis. You know, those that go on diet, someone needs to challenge you. Sometimes they need to put something in front of you. You need to be able to push those things away. No, I don't want that. I'm trying to eat right. I'm trying to live right. You know what God does for us? God does not remove the temptation out of this world. The temptation is still there. But we have to know how to turn our back on it and say, I don't want to participate in those things. We need to push that bottle away, or we need to go home and clear out our refrigerators, or go to our wine cabinets and throw those things away. We need to look in our shirt pockets, in our jacket pockets. We need to take those cigarettes and we need to throw them away. See, the word of God challenges you. If you are truly wanting to be the temple of God, which we're supposed to be, you will make sure that you keep your temple clean. You will do these things. The word of God challenges us. It's important for good reading so that we may grow in hope. That we may grow in hope. In the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Our learning. that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Moses, a servant of God, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. Moses was a leader of God's people. But because of the sin that Moses committed, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. And God said, you're not going to enter into the promised land. I'm going to let you see it, but you're not going to enter in. But you know what we have today? We have hope. And we learn that if we're not obedient to the point in which God wants us to be, we will not enter in. So as we read God's word, we have hope to stay away from the things that are wrong and do the things that are right. Amen. Steps to better reading. We need to read regularly, don't we? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17. It's very simple on how to better yourself. You learn, as many of us have gone through it many, many years ago, learning how to drive, the only way we're going to better ourselves is to continue to drive. The only way you're going to better yourself in reading God's word is that you continue to read. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 through 19. And it shall be when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite. And what shall he do? And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Sit down sometime. Read God's word and write out what you read. When God says that you should sing and tell you how to sing, write those things out. And as you write them, you will find that when someone asks you the question, reference to them, you will have an answer for them. Because you read it on a constant basis. There are some families, you know what they'll do when they're dealing with things in their house, they'll go and they'll start getting these scriptures and post them around the house, and that's reminders of what I need to be doing. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Post that somewhere in your house if you're one of the ones that provoking your children to do things that are wrong. If you have some children that are disobedient, go ahead and post Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 somewhere in the house where they're going to be on a daily basis and they can read it. And when they read it, you tell them, do not take it down, but follow it. One of the best places to put that would be on the refrigerator, because a lot of young people like to eat. So we need to teach them that they need to be obedient. Read the Bible regularly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul tells him, Timothy here, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy, you want to better yourself? You want to be a good minister? He said, till I come. He said, you give attendance to reading. Well, how much do I need to read? You need to read it until I come back. You need to read it until we're joined together again. And what was Timothy doing? Timothy was already reading something, wasn't he? He was reading what Paul wrote to him. And so we need to understand that as we pick up God's word and we read it, that we need to do it on a regular basis. And we'll know where our Bible is. Devotionally. Devotionally. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As we looked at this morning, as newborn babes, when a man or a woman becomes a Christian, we find in many cases they're just like the Ethiopian eunuch was. When they come up out of that water, they go away rejoicing. But what can I read? I just can't get enough. What can I read? Give me something else to read. Read your Bible. Give me a passage to read. Just start reading. You know what they're really asking. You need to give me something that I can govern my life by. Amen. Give me something that's going to show me what I need to be, how I need to be in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. We need to read with intent. In James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. What are we going to do? James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We need to read with intent. We need to know why we're reading God's word and what we can do about what we're reading. Another time, here I come over the hill, and the man come behind me and pulled me over, and he said, I thought the speed limit was 55 or 65. He said, yeah, it was back there, but now you're in the 55. See, I saw that sign. I just ignored it. That's what happens to us many times when we read God's word and we do not put God's word into action. We read what God wanted us to do, but we ignored it. Be ye doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're not deceiving anybody but yourself. As you read sometime, how light. So when you go back, you can say, oh yeah, I remember reading that. Then you read something else and you get a different color highlighted. You highlight it a different color. Then you go back and you say, oh yeah, I remember reading that. And then you get a different color. Some Bibles you can buy already color-coded for you. And I'm not just talking about the words of Jesus in red either. I'm talking about green, yellow, pink, purple. They already got those highlighted things for you. Then you want to get a highlight and you want to highlight some more because you don't like what they highlighted. You want to highlight something that's going to help you out. When you read sometimes, read aloud to yourself. When I was going through drill sergeant school, they said, I want you to go home and I want you to practice these things in front of a mirror, practice them on your kids. I want you to know these things. Sometimes we need to read God's word aloud so that we may get an understanding out of it. We may hear ourselves reading it and then someone say, didn't you just read that? Now look what you're doing. We need to read God's word out loud sometime. Have you not read? In the book of Joshua chapter 1, Brother Rashad read the scripture reading. We're going to back up just a little bit in Joshua chapter 1. Because of why God was telling Joshua these things. In Joshua chapter 1, let's back up to verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, backing up to verse 5. Brother Rashad, go ahead and read that for us, starting at verse 5 this time, and read down through verse 9.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
How many times?
Amen.
How many times did God tell Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be courageous. Be strong. The only way that you're going to be able to do this, and he told Joshua, is that you continue to read my word. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God. We need Christ. We need the Spirit. We need one another to be strong, to be of good courage. We need to make sure that when we read God's Word, that we say, God, I know that You said this is Your Word, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray Your Word right back to You. You said that You would take care of me. You said You would protect me. You said You would clothe me. You said You would feed me. And you know what God is going to do for you? He's going to do exactly what He said, because He's a keeper of His Word. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to live by it. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you being who God wants you to be? If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you've been reading God's Word, but you have not really fully understood what you were reading. You don't have to know everything. But what you do need to know is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's the confession that you need to make. You need to understand that as you read these things in God's Word and people talk to you about God's Word, that there is only one church, and that you do not join it, but the Lord adds you to it after you're baptized. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 teaches us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned or shall be damned. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, that opportunity is given to you to become one on this evening. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to come back because there's nothing out there in the world for you. You need to be in the ark of safety. You need to be within the body of Christ. You need to be, your worship needs to be acceptable unto God. So we're asking you to come forth tonight to make your confession, to repent of your sins, that your life may be right in the eyes of God. And then give attention, give attendance to reading God's Word. If you stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.